It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19. We're going to begin reading with verse 29. Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, as we begin the study today. And then while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'm glad that you've joined us today, and please enjoy the study as you listen and hopefully follow along as we look to God's Word today. Genesis chapter 19, verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. The firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Benammi, and the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this time. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us and direct us in your word, that we may learn exactly what we should learn today. It is always and has to be by your leadership. We know, Father, that in order for us to learn of you, that we may have your wisdom, we must be born again, because the old flesh and the old heart cannot know you, nor grow in you, nor have your will or wisdom or power. And so please, Lord, if we expect to grow closer to you and walk in your way and will, we need to know you first. And so please, Lord Jesus, all that are listening today, that they will come and ask you into their hearts, that they may be born again and begin a new life with you. Now please, Lord, guide us now as we study your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was a sad day in Abraham's life. It was a sad day in Lot's life. A very sad day in Lot's wife's life, because her life came to an end. As we looked at the last section that we have just studied of God's Word here, why we find that Lot and his wife and his two daughters, as they escaped the judgment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of those cities, most believe that that never happened to start with, and it never will happen. God is a God of love, and that's what's presented today and proclaimed today. Well, God is a God of love, very definitely, because he's shown his love towards us in such a way, in such a manner that no man can show, and that is in offering and giving his Son, his only begotten Son, for us. He chose to give his Son to the point of death, that his Son would be able to take our sin away. You see, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he has taken on the body of a man, was still perfect. And being completely perfect, then he could satisfy that charge of death, that penalty of death, if he would take all of our sin and die for all of our sin, then we could be set free. And that's exactly the way that God had it planned. And as our sins were taken away upon the cross of Calvary, that you and I can live. Now that's not just a universal salvation then, since Jesus has completed that work. And it was God's plan. There was the shedding of blood. There was the innocent sacrifice. There was the innocent sacrifice put to death. All the things are satisfied that we have talked about all through God's Word. So then, is everybody saved? No. Because it is a gift that is given. You have to receive that gift. And if you miss that, if you miss that part, if you have been taught contrary to that, that God is love because he has shown such great love in offering his Son to die for us, and he has completed that work, and the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you believe all that, but you have never come by faith to Jesus and trusted in him as your personal Savior, then it's of no account to you. It was done for you and completed for you, but it was no account for you. And because you refused to come by faith, trust in that, accept that free gift. And I hope today that you do that. As we look here at this life of Lot and Lot's wife and Lot's daughters and of Abraham and of Sarah, and as we look at those lives, we see a tremendous difference between the two. Abraham continues to make mistakes, but his mistakes in comparison to what we have with Lot chose to just plain live in the world. And today, why I'm afraid that's exactly what's taken place, that the church is living in the world, and worse than that, the church has invited the world in. And so in order to keep up the numbers and keep up the dollars and have the income for the church that we need, and all these missionaries we're supporting, we need this money, and pastor needs a raise, and we need a new building addition, and we just the only way we're going to reach these people is if we can get them here so they can hear it, not under the means that we're doing it. It has got to be by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. God has set out that the believer, the Christian, proclaims the Word of God. We have it written before us. And I have several Bibles that I love and enjoy reading. And as I read those Bibles, and you know what I'm going to say next if you've ever listened before, and that is that I only have King James. I don't have many Bibles so I can have the different versions. I don't have that at all. I got the old King James, and I stay with the old King James. And it is wonderful. It is very close to God's original Word. And as we read that, we need to stay as close as we can to the Greek and the Hebrew. And so please that you stay with the King James. If you've left it, go back and then begin to read God's Word. Well, when we begin to read God's Word, we should begin to proclaim God's Word if we're a believer, because it should be joy in our hearts. We should invite folks to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only thing folks know how to do today is invite folks to church. Well, we have a situation here with Lot that he sure wasn't inviting anybody to church, was he? He wasn't inviting anybody down the street to the local religious service, and I'm sure there were many religious services, and Lot was probably very possibly involved in them, because he was in a situation in the city where he held a position of power, a position of authority, and so you see, he could have even been somewhat of a religious ruler. And you say, well, these people sure weren't religious for all the things that they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley. That's not so at all, because you see, people that can be very corrupt and very wicked many times are very religious. they're not born again believers. They are not Christians, but they're very religious. And there's a big difference between those two places and those two positions. And so, you see, now we have this man Lot, and we're not really sure what he, how much he was involved with the religion and the religious part, the rituals of the city. We do know that he was of a place of position because he was at the gate, and so he held that, and so he was a man of authority in this wicked city, and he should never have been there. You know, when we surround ourselves with wickedness, you can expect to be caught up in that wickedness and become wicked yourself. Now, Lot did just that, and he lost his family. If you'll notice that the only two that came out with him when it was all said and done was his two daughters. And so he literally lost all of his family because of his leadership and going down into Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, many times people will say, you know, I don't know why my children don't go to church. Boy, I pray for them. I want to go to church. Well, you look at the example that you're giving. Are you in church? Is that the most important thing to you, to come into the house of God and study God's Word? Or is it secondhand? You come when there isn't something else going on. Or you schedule other things that can be in the middle of that, and so that way you know, boy, I really want to be at church, but I just can't work it out today. Oh, that's a sad, sad statement, and I hear it all the time. And it's sad that people can do that. Well, Lot is a perfect example of many people's lives, folks that I know. They say they're Christian, and they now and then frequent the door of the church. You never see them around to do any work or any help because they're so busy with the world and the things of the world. But as you look and you see these people, and you look at them and you think, how could they be a Christian? Well, we can't make that judgment, because Lot we find to be a Christian, even though he's in the middle of this mess. And what did it cost him? So, okay, I can be in the world because God brought Lot out. Will you look at what it cost him? It cost him his family. It cost him literally everything but his life. And so now you add that up and see if that's just a little bit much for you. Now, let's look to see here in verse 27. We find in verse 26 first, but his wife looked from back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So you see, Lot's wife didn't survive. She didn't make it out of the judgment, because whether she was lagging back or whether her heart was so desirous to be in that city, I don't have any idea. But they were led out. That's how close she got from escaping the judgment of God. But you see, she didn't believe God. God said through his messengers here, do not look back. You know, go, leave, and don't turn back. Don't look back. And instead of that, why, Lot's wife did. And she lagged back, I think. And she got so close because she did not want to leave her friends. She did not want to leave those that were her family members. But you see, Lot made that decision when he decided to be there. And so if you don't know why your children are not in church today and why they're not serving God today, take a good look at your own life, because that's where it begins, and then it will move from there. Now we find as Abraham got up early in the morning in verse 27 to the place where he stood before the Lord, then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plains, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as of the smoke of a furnace. Now at this point in time, he didn't have any idea whether Lot had escaped. He didn't know whether there was, he knew that because of the judgment that there was not 10 people righteous. He knew that. Otherwise, the judgment wouldn't have taken place, because God said, if I find 10 righteous souls in the city of the valley, I will not destroy it. But you see, he did not find 10 righteous souls. They weren't there. And so he destroyed the city. Did Abraham know where Lot was? No, he didn't. He didn't have any idea where Lot was at, whether Lot and his wife and all of his family got out. He didn't know who got out. He just saw the judgment. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he ask if he could go to Zoar? He says, Lord, please, I don't want to go into the mountains, because there be some evil take me and I die. That's what 19 says. And behold, now this is near. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And so he gave him that city to move into. And the 22nd verse at the end, it says, and the name of that city was called Zoar. And so now we find, though, here in verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar. You see, that judgment was so fierce that he didn't even feel safe in Zoar. And all of a sudden, he decided maybe he felt safer up inside these mountains instead of in Zoar. Now, as we look at Zoar, this one city was spared, wasn't it? Now, Lot didn't feel safe there, but the city was spared, and it was supposed to be judged, but it was spared because of Lot. Now, you can see if there just be a little call, a little direction towards the Lord. Look what he gives Lot. Did Lot deserve any of that? No. Do we deserve any of the grace and the love and the compassion of God? No. But he sure gives it to us, and we need to thank him for it and praise him for it. Let's see what kind of thanks that Lot is given the Lord here. And Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters, the very place that the Lord said to go in the first place. But he said, oh, I can't. Give me Zoar. Well, when he got to Zoar again, he didn't feel that to be a safe place. And the firstborn said unto the younger, this is the two daughters that got out. Everybody else is gone. Lot's wife's gone. Lot's sons are gone. Lot's sons-in-laws are gone. Lot's married daughters are gone. Any grandchildren that Lot had, everybody is gone. These two daughters that we have here are the two virgin daughters. If you remember back in the earlier part of this chapter, that he decided to give over to all the wicked men, young and old, in Sodom. He says, you know, here, you take these two daughters. They've never known a man. Take them. Do whatever you want to do with them. Now, isn't that a very sad, sad statement that this man had gotten into? Now, these same two daughters have watched Lot, their father. You know, as our children watches us, why, usually our children, and they assuredly will pick up all the bad habits. They don't seem to pick up some of the good habits that we think that we are putting forth, but they sure can pick up on the nasty ones, can't they? They're pretty handy about that. And if you'll notice, we were probably, and I know we were the same thing as we were raising up, the good things that our parents were trying to teach us, the good things that the pastor was trying to teach us, the good things that the Sunday school teacher was trying to teach us, we just didn't seem to catch on to. But boy, those ornery little wicked things, well, we just picked those right up, didn't we? You know, the good talk and how to speak and the language he used, why, it was so easy to pick up the bad language that maybe we heard just on occasion from one of our parents when they were angry or something like that. Those are the words that we never forget. And so that's the old sin in us. That's the old natural flesh. Well, let's look to see if when in Lot's situation here, if this living down in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley had any effect upon his daughters. Now, surprisingly enough, we're not sure how old they are, but we know that they were two virgin daughters. They had never known a man. And the only reason that they had not known a man is because, if you'll remember, probably the only reason they had not known a man is because, remember the situation in the city. They didn't want women. The men of the city didn't want women. They wanted other men. You see, that's how sick they were. That was what brought part of the judgment. It was pride and selfishness and the just sin-sick world of Sodom and Gomorrah is what brought the judgment on. And so here's these two daughters, and so don't think that they were just so good that they had not known a man, and here they were to the age of marriage probably, and so here they are, these wonderful daughters. I think that would be wrong to paint such a picture, to look in such a manner that way. But Lot went out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains with his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave with his two daughters. The firstborn said to the younger, verse 31, "Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Now, if we'll look first at that first example here, the first, not example, but terrible act, what happens to Lot? And, you know, we have Lot and his two daughters. They're hiding up in this cave. Did they think all of mankind was gone? What was the thought here? The thought wasn't that this was it. The thought was just wickedness. The wickedness was so prevalent in these two daughters that they figured out how they were going to do this. They says, you know, if we're going to give birth to any children, if we're going to, you know, be as a woman, we're going to need to do something here. And it was very possible it really wasn't the thought that, how is his life going to continue with children if we don't do this? It was probably something they just wanted to do. And the only man to have sex with here was their dad. Everybody else was gone for the time. And they decided they couldn't wait, so they got this plan together. They says, you know, if we can get Dad drunk, if we can get him to start drinking some wine here and get him drunk, he won't even know what we're doing. And it was just a wicked heart, and that's the heart that these girls had, was a wicked, wicked heart. And it was no different than many of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God saw grace, saw a need to bring out Lot and his two daughters. And the only information we really have here, only thing we really have is that Lot was the one that was saved, was the two girls young enough that they weren't to the age of accountability, and so they were brought out? I'm not sure. But if they weren't to the age of account, if they were to the, they were not to the age of accountability, It would seem like that they were definitely to the age of knowing what was right and wrong, and knowing what the old world likes. And so they went after their dad, one at a time. And so he says, you know, we'll do this. You know, the first night, why, I'll go in. The firstborn said unto the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. So let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." What a noble act. It wasn't a noble act at all. It was that's what they wanted to do. They made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn, so the oldest, went in and lay with her father. He perceived not that she lay down nor that she arose. You see, he was drunk. Now, so Lot should have never, you know, I don't know what you think of drinking socially or otherwise. It is wrong. It is dangerous. And so if you do so, I ask that you stop, because any amount of alcohol will change you. Maybe just a little, maybe just a lot. But you better be prepared to answer and pay the consequences. You know, a lot of people today think they can just have, one drink or a couple drinks and then drive down the road and head home or over to somebody else's house. And today they have locked down so strongly on drinking and driving that all of a sudden you find out that, wait a minute here, I don't belong in jail. I don't need to pay this $500 or this $1,000 fine for drinking and driving. It was just one time. I just had a couple drinks. Well, you know, if you just don't have the couple drinks, you don't have to worry about it, do you? There's not a concern there if you don't have them. Well, here, Lot, if he would have said, no, I tell you what, I've just seen the judgment of God, and I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not going to drink that wine because I want to stay sober. I want to stay alert, because if God's going to speak to me again, I want to hear him and I want to be ready. But you see, Lot wasn't that way at all. Did Lot leave Sodom and Gomorrah when these messengers come to tell Lot it's time to get out? No, if you'll remember right, the messengers had to grab hold of Lot, his wife, and his two daughters in order to get them to leave. And they weren't ready at all. They loved that town. They loved the excitement of the town. They loved all those things. And so they weren't any more ready to leave than you can imagine. So here we have Lot, and we have him drunk, and we have him having a sexual act with his oldest daughter. And so that worked. Boy, that was fun, and that's what the girls looked at. The thing says here, the scripture says here that it was so that our seed would continue. You know, we have to do this. There's no other men, but that wasn't the fact or the plan at all. The plan was because they wanted something to do, and the only one that they could do it with was their dad, because he was the only one that was there. For some reason, they kind of avoided the ways of the city, because in Sodom and Gomorrah, why, the men wanted the men, the women wanted the women. Well, maybe they got tired of that. I'm not sure what took place. But anyway, they decided they wanted their father. And so the first one went in, and she lay with him, and then she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. What a noble act. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not that she had lain with him. Now, if he had not been drunk, that wouldn't have been a problem. Perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, and the same as the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, if you look on the map, you'll find that the land of Canaan, the promised land, and then if you'll just go to the right of that, you'll find Moab on the other side of the Jordan. You'll find Moab, and then below you'll find Ammon first, I guess, and then the Moabites, and then below that is the Edomites. And so, and the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. And so now we have the whole clan, don't we? We have this mixture here of Lot and his two daughters and their two sons now. And so actually they are the children of Lot, as Moab and as Ammon. And if you look on any of your old maps that would maybe be in the back of your Bible, why, if you look off as you find the land of Canaan, the promised land, when you find that, why, just look over to the right just a little bit. You cross the Jordan and then go just a little further, and you will find Ammon, and then below that Moab, and then if you know, you'll see the Edomites down below that. If you come over back over to the coast on the left side, why, you'll find the Philistines there. And so that's kind of the lands, the people that are surrounding this nation of Israel. But it's so sad, because we'll find as we continue to study God's word that the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites, the Philistines, none of them really get along with the nation of Israel. And so they're not joining them. Lot should have been in the land of Canaan, should have stayed in the land of Canaan. He should not have been down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He shouldn't have allowed his children to see such filth. And as it was, why, it was almost a natural act for them. They probably never really gave it much of a thought. Lot undoubtedly had a little bit of a conscience, because they didn't think he would do it if he realized it. So not a big deal. We'll just get him drunk and take care of it. So what have we learned today? We've learned that wickedness is so strong in this world, and it's here today. The only way we can survive and our children will survive, if we bring them to Jesus Christ, introduce them to the cross of Calvary, and bring them into the Word of God to show them the way, the truth, and the life. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?